Said this afternoon that as of Skeet, he doesn't need any introduction to us because all of us know him and love him. It's my pleasure to bring to you this evening, Brother George.
I made a remark a moment ago that I was glad to be here. I believe I can say beyond that that I'm happy to be here. I enjoyed our association together this morning. I enjoyed what we heard this afternoon. I also enjoyed the rendition of the quartet a moment ago. But I deeply appreciated whoever was responsible for the hymn 190. To me, that is one of the most wonderful hymns. You may not all agree with me. It's one of the most wonderful hymns in the hymnal. And I never hear it sung, but I wonder if we really mean or understand the full purpose of the words of that hymn. I wonder that. I'm before you tonight not by choice, but by request. And while I'm glad to talk to you for a little season, but still lingers with me as there has every time I come into the stand like this for about 65 or 66 years, a very large amount of timidity. Because I am fearful that I might not be able to render what would be required of me by those who sit and listen, but above all, He who called me and entrusted me to discharge a duty and a responsibility. I'm very anxious, my brothers and sisters. I'm very much concerned because of the things that have already begun and are going to continue, that each one of us, including Brother Jordan, might qualify, that we will merit when we are put to the test, that we can receive the divine help that is and should be ours to enjoy. But because in ages past, of which we may refer to a little later on, disobedience and a failure to recognize the requirements of our Heavenly Father, they came under condemnation and eventually destruction, and in later years, toil and distress and hunger and loss of life and loss of property, because they had obeyed God and failed to recognize what was requisite of them, and failed to put into practice that which could have averted the terrible conditions that came upon them because of disobedience. Oh, maybe I had better have a text, or maybe two. You're going to find one in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. I love to read the words of that marvelous man that has been recognized throughout the ages of the past as a silver-tongued prophet. I love that. And he starts out, and I'm not going to deal with what he says only in a few lines. Cry aloud. Spare not. Show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Two classes. Cry aloud. And I would to God, and I do not for a moment suggest that our men are not declaring in loud voice and earnest pronouncements many of the commandments of God, that if we would hearken to them, they would be of value to us. The other text I want to use is in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. And I want every one of us to recognize this and put it into observation and in consideration and in prayer and in fasting, which we're going to deal with just a little later on, because I believe that I have been misunderstood, especially at the last conference in Independence. I heard it whispered that Brother Jordan doesn't believe in fasting. If ever there was a fallacy stated, that was one. But I want to use this other text before I enter into a consideration of some of the things that burden my mind, and I desire to bring them to your attention, not with oratory, because I'm not an orator, not as a wonderful preacher, because I am not, but as a humble, unassuming servant of God, striving earnestly to do His will and keep His commandments and induce others as I can to awake from the slumbers that have slept us, handicapped us over the years of the past. Jeremiah says, and I love to read that fellow, wonderful, and I'm often reminded that he complained that he was the only one that seemingly was giving attention to the direction and commandments of God. He was told a little different. So I'm not going to deal with that. But this is what he says. Seek ye out the old paths. And oh, that I could sing that into your hearts. To sing out, to seek out the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest to your souls. I sometimes wonder if some of our people do not take the position and the attitude as it did back yonder when they said, we will not walk therein. Ask yourselves the question whether that is your mental attitude or your general deportment as children of God of these latter days. I'm going to ask my brother now, with those few opening remarks, to read to you a portion of that 58th chapter. I discovered just a moment ago, and had I known, I believe I would have tried to give thought to something else. I just learned a few moments ago that there have been, by my beloved brother, your pastor, brought to you a message. He said, those who are here were not all here on this very subject, and he made me feel happy when he said, I am largely, or maybe a similar word, in harmony with your position on the idea of fasting. I want Brother Robert to read a portion of that 58th chapter.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasures, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make my voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord?
You all know that my eyesight has failed me, and I believe that many of you, if you live to be 89 years of age, may have a similar difficulty. It's embarrassing to me and disturbing, but seemingly I cannot yet find relief. But I want you to notice that which has been read. And it indicates to me, if not to you, that at a certain time they were doing just as exactly as Isaiah puts it, and they observed or thought they were fasting, and they found themselves under condemnation and told them that this was not the fast that God required. And I have heard so many times, yes, right in the Church of Christ, the proclamation that we will come before God in prayer and fasting, and we have sought the face of God. I shouldn't say we, because I have not always been in harmony with the pronouncement because of things that have gone on in my presence but a few hours before. And I ask myself, and I ask you, if you have lived under those conditions that I have passed through, can we expect God to recognize our fast and our prayer and answer according to our needs? Back there, they were fasting along certain lines. And they were told that the fast they were performing, in my own words, that it was not satisfactory to God, and their prayer as they complained, "We have fasted and you haven't heard." I ask this body of people whom I love much more than words can express, have you not observed as I have, and the thumping of the fist and the abuse of one another, not here but over the mountains, and then ask us to come before God in fasting and in prayer and asking of Him to give unto us light and direction and instruction after we have gone through that kind of a session? And I know there are some that sit here before me can bear me out in what I have said and suggested. My brothers and my sisters, our fasting is valueless until we put into practice, not just once, but in our lives, put into practice some of the things that He has requested of us, or given us as a lesson. May I remind you that the disciples in the day of Christ, evidently the apostles, led by the apostles and others, come and said to Him, "Teach us to pray." And you know, I feel kind of disturbed when I hear some of our men, and I'm speaking kindly of them, because I love those fellows. We do not always just see things alike, but that doesn't mean that I hold them as an enemy, not by any means. But I have heard quoted the Lord's Prayer. That is not the Lord's Prayer. But they said, "Teach us to pray, and after this manner pray ye." And then we have that wonderful rendition that He gave to them by way of example. And this that I'm dealing with tonight, I do not claim that must be carried into effect exactly as it states there, but it's a sample, a gift of instructions because I believe there is beyond even that the requisite of true fasting and prayer. There are many other things that are requisite of the children of God. And when we adjust ourselves more clearly and perceptibly to the teachings of the Son of God and observe them and practice them in our lives, in our homes. I heard the other day, which disturbed me very much, a brother and a sister, a husband and wife. He came into the house seemingly very much annoyed about something. And what he said, not realizing I was there, because the moment that he noticed that I was in the home, he beat it out of the home, and he ought to be ashamed of himself. And what he said to that dear sister, I wished I could drop her and her two daughters down here with me. A wonderful character, a lovable woman, a woman that any man can love as Jesus loved Mary and Martha and the brother Lazarus. That's the kind of love I want to see displayed. But speaking as he did to that beloved wife of his, how could that man get on his knees and even ask God to bless his home? I use that as an illustration. My brothers and my sisters, I come to you in a pleading form that we come out of our slumber, come down from the high places we think we stand, and humbly observe and keep the commandments of God, and then we can come to him and in fasting and in prayer, and we will find the fulfillment of the promise, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I have wondered many times, or not so many, but a few. I have been wired for, telephoned for, driven 100 or so miles to bring me to where somebody was on the sick bed. I have seen some of the most remarkable conditions obtained through an annual hour of prayer, not even with fasting, but with prayer. I have seen what was described by the doctors as an incurable condition. There was no chance for them to live. I have seen that and traveled over 100 miles in the cold of our country up there in the month of February by sled, probably by train, and again by a sled going away up in there in the hills about 20 miles. The doctors had left and said that this good sister couldn't possibly live only about 2 days or thereabouts. And under administration, not because it was me, because I'm one of the least in the kingdom of God, in my estimation, but I prayed there and I anointed with oil and I ministered to her. And the next morning, she couldn't talk to me. Well, I arrived there first. The next morning, she got out of bed. And I ate breakfast with me. That's only one of many others. But I thought I ought to make his list. There has been times when I have done just a similar thing. And I have prayed and aligned with all I have prayed over. And I might have just as well have given the poor unfortunate individual a drink of water. Oh, how I have asked time and again when similar conditions are obtained. What's the matter? Thomas, what's the matter? Is it you? Why? Why? And I receive no enlightenment. Only the fact is that we have not lived in harmony with the directions that we have received, contained in the books and in the discourses, like the one we heard this afternoon, and no doubt we'll hear others before this reunion shall close. And I'll ask the question again. If we don't enjoy the things we should, why? Oh, that why and that big question mark. Why? There's something wrong somewhere. And until we become the united band, humble and unassuming, with a demonstration of love and affection, and get down on our knees and follow the instructions, if we find it necessary to fast, that we at least apply as far as we can that which we have heard read and that which we shall hear read as we pass along in the talk that I desire to make to you tonight. I'm going to ask now for Brother Robert to read the next few verses of that 58th chapter of Isaiah.
Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break the every yoke? Is it not to deal the bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh.
That's the fact that Isaiah, through the command of God, gave the people of that day. Now I do not expect, or would I urge, the trying to follow out word for word in that which Isaiah portrays. But I do suggest to each one of our people that as they came to Jesus and said to him, teach us to pray, and then he said, after this manner pray ye, then I ask you to observe that which is recorded there, and wherever possible, you prepare that kind of a fast. I do not mean for you to misunderstand me that I do not believe in abstaining from food. Yes, that's a part of the fast. That's only a small portion of it. But there are other things. God in fasting and prayer, when we have saw with our eyes and we have heard with our ears, some of the things almost mentioned in the early reading of that particular chapter. I did see. No, I'm wrong. I did know of where one of my brethren, who still lives, hauled off with his fist and hit another brother. I have heard in the debates down there the castigation of my brother, and then suggesting that we come together and fast. Do you think God's going to recognize that kind of a fast? Let's get away. Well, one would say to me, well, what would you do when something turns up that requires me to make a harsh or unkind reference or statement? Do as I have done on several occasions, and I'm not a perfect man, don't think that. I may make my mistakes. I've done things that I have been sorry for within a few hours. So I'm not holding myself up as an example. But I have, not too long ago, turned my back and walked away when this biting Irish tongue of mine could have turned loose and said some things that would cut the individual to the very bone. But I remember this. If they smite you on one cheek, turn to him the other. And that is an attitude I believe we should take. I believe in fasting. I have seen with my eyes and heard with my ears the result of fasting when conditions was right and ripe and the opportune time had come, and we had come, though humbly, though few in number and in a humble manner, with love in our hearts and a desire for the welfare of those who were less fortunate from any angle at all, be it temporal, spiritual, or otherwise. I have seen the results. And the only reason that we do not have all of these things today, that we cannot come to God and ask Him to bless and sanctify to our good the records He has left for the gallops along the avenues of life. There is a sample of a part of the past, at least, as recorded in that 58th chapter of Isaiah. Now I want my brother to read the result of that kind of fast, and such a wonderful promise. I want it to sink deep into every one of our hearts, mine included. Result of that kind of a fast in the spirit of humility and in sincerity and in brotherly love. I'll touch just a moment on brotherly love. There sits in our presence tonight a man that I, and he's been right, was closely to me that I believe to be a true demonstration of love. Many years ago, I happened to be down here
I do not recall the occasion of my being down here, but I was here. And as I was about to leave, a brother with his wife not too far away came along and he said, as he took my hand, bid me goodbye, "Brother Jordan, if you ever find yourself short of funds to move on in your missionary work, you wire me, and I'll wire back whatever you need." Thank God I never had to do that. But to me, it was a demonstration of genuine love. I don't like profession. Oh, it's all right to do it here and there. But I like the demonstration by the attitude of men and women, one to the other. I see it down there, and I was going to have a little bit of fun at their expense. Some new ones came in. And you should have seen the hugging and the kissing of the sisters one with the other. Oh, what a demonstration of love. Enjoyable to look at. I rejoice to see it. I thought when I was a boy, and I often wondered, those good old sisters down there in Ontario where I was born, coming together every Sunday, and they greeted each other with a kiss and a hug, as well as a handshake. A demonstration of love. Because I do not believe, my brothers and sisters, that too much of love is advantageous to the various sisters or the various men. I don't believe in too much of love. Although it's all right, I have a young sister up in Spokane, Washington the other day. I knew her when she was a boy. I knew her as she grew into the adolescent age. I knew her later, and I baptized her and confirmed her. And I now know her as the relative of some young man with two of the nicest baby girls we have ever met. Billy Sheldon blessed one, and I blessed the other not so very long ago, just about a year ago. And I can't go there. But that dear little woman throws her arms around me and kisses me on the cheek and tells me how glad that I have come. Well, that's all right once in a while. But I do not advise it too promiscuously. I'm going to ask Brother Robert to read to you the result of that kind of effect. And I want you to pay close attention to it. And perchance when you go home, get down your Bibles and read it yourself. Because I am anxious that we keep the commandments of God in every detail. Not thinking that this would be all right. That's what happened back in the early days. We're talking about today. They started to go on about 1832, but it was pronounced in 1834 when the change of the name of the church from the Church of Christ to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Be careful, my brothers and my sisters. When these innovations come in, and the world and all those new changes that make things not do important and it does not do any harm, be careful. from the Spirit. That we can't. There may be a moving by simple limitations you have in the church and not too much. But the larger one shall fill it. That may bring us further out and disappear before our heavenly Father and do their prayer to them to do it to our petitions. That is, that we do the rest of it. I listen to this.
Take away this stuff.